Good morning, everyone. We do not have a quorum yet, but maybe we do now. I don't know. Oh, now we do have a quorum. Wonderful. Well, thank you. I'd like to call to order this meeting of the House Health, Finance, and Policy Committee. Thank you, everybody, for getting up what for us is very, very early, because we are on the floor until after midnight. So I know, and members are really tired. So I really appreciate all of you making it in this morning.
We all look good.
And being here really pretty promptly. So the first order of business will be to approve the minutes of the last meeting, which are...
Madam Chair, I'll approve the minutes of April 19th.
Thank you, Representative Bierman. So Representative Bierman's moving approval of the minutes of April 19th, which are in your packets. Is there any discussion to the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor of approval of the minutes of April 19th, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion prevails. The minutes are approved. Thank you so much. So we are here to consider House File 5442, which is my bill. I'm going to move House File 5442 to bring it before the committee. But I just want to kind of give a little bit of explanation here before we dive into the substance so that everybody kind of understands what we're doing. This is an informational hearing. We're not moving the bill, but we do have an author's amendment. So essentially the bill is that we're going to be discussing today is with the amendment. And I'll walk through kind of what the amendment does, because I know it's a page and line amendment. It was posted, but it's a little confusing because it's a page and line amendment. It's kind of an extensive one. But it changes the bill in some pretty significant ways. And so just so everyone understands the kind of what we're doing here, we're having this hearing because this has popped up a little bit late in the session for us. And clearly the session is going to end. If this moves forward, just to be perfectly transparent here, it will move forward as language in an omnibus bill. And I haven't reached agreement yet with Senator Wicklund about that, so I'm not speaking for her, but she, of course, is also interested in this topic. There's a similar bill in the Senate. So this is so that we can, this is a very important issue to many, many people. That's why we're talking about it here today. We know that Hennepin County Medical Center is not just a county hospital. It's a statewide asset. Obviously, I don't represent Hennepin County. We have a number of legislators who do, but many of us don't. And yet we're all deeply interested in Hennepin County Medical Center and its future and its stability. And that's what really brings us here and what prompted the filing of this bill is that we are hearing reports of and great deep concerns about the stability of the institution. And the stability of this institution and others, it's not just about whether there's an actual threat to its stability, but even a perceived threat can really be harmful. And so what this bill is intended to do is not to interfere with the authority of the Hennepin County Board, which does have financial oversight and responsibility ultimately for the hospital, but to put some additional guardrails in place. And at the same time, we do recognize, and there are a lot of folks who've come down here early this morning to talk with us and with their concerns about the way the hospital's operating. And we recognize that they have these concerns, and they may be valid concerns. We're not here to say they're not or to put our thumb on the scale in terms of, employees and their unions negotiating or even putting pressure on the hospital board. But where we do kind of draw the line, at least I'm speaking for myself, is that we need to maintain the stability of this institution. And so the threat of dissolving the board dissolving the corporation is, for me personally, really a bridge too far. So that's what prompted this, this legislation. So with that, I think what I'd like to do, well, let me just pause for a second and see if other members, before I kind of explain the, what the amendment does and what the bill is in its current form, maybe I should let other members, if you want to say anything. I didn't really clue anybody I was going to ask, but I certainly think I don't have to be the only one to speak to the issue if other members care to do that. Representative Bierman?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Appreciate your comments, and I think you set the table pretty well as far as what the objectives of the bill are. There's a lot of issues around hospitals right now. The it's a tough market. It's a tough condition to work through coming out of COVID. But you know, there's also just I think conversationally, as we talk to people on all sides of this issue, some of the things that do come up, just the fact that healthcare costs are rising and workers are having to pay a little bit more out of pocket. And this is something that I've been dealing with my entire business career and something that has really was part of the impetus of why I ran for office. And I think there's a lot of people at this table who are looking at the issue of high costs of healthcare for people, no matter where they work, out of pockets rise, premiums rise, and that's a significant issue here as well, like it is throughout all hospitals, throughout our economy, throughout this state, throughout the nation. So these are real issues that we have to grapple with, but we have to do it in a way that will help the infrastructure, the institutions of the hospital function. So we'll hear a lot today, and I'm looking forward to that. This is all about information, and our job is also to separate fact from fiction, from what we hear, and to work on solutions. And I think everybody at the table is committed to do that. I've been impressed with the people I've talked to on all sides of this issue who have that same value of our point today, which is to keep a stable institution at HCMC and recognize the importance and value of this institution to the entire state. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bierman. Representative Nadeau.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I will be quick. And thank you for bringing this bill. I mean, I think, you know, it's something that we've talked about a lot in this committee is, you know, we're not all experts in certain areas of the subject matter that we discuss, but our job is to try to find that balance, to make sure that we're accountable, it's transparent, but our hospitals and our healthcare systems and whatever those look like are there and stable and affordable for, you know, for the people of Minnesota. And I think that I'm excited to hear what the testimony is on this. HCMC is obviously near and dear to my heart. It's a system that is kind of alone in that it is a state asset, as you mentioned, but it is the responsibility of the Hennepin County Board and the Hennepin County taxpayers that do this. So it's kind of, it sits out there on its own. It does an enormous amount of work to ensure that the employees of that hospital and that system are taken care of, and we're all under that. We're all under the stress right now of, you know, with inflation being what it is, the cost of providing health care what it is, and everything is being constricted and squeezed. And so thank you for bringing this, and I'm looking forward to having a robust discussion and hearing testimony about it today. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Representative Nadeau. Any other members want to make a sort of a preliminary comment here? Okay. All right. So let me just kind of read through and this is just the little summary that was written by nonpartisan staff about what the amendment changes. So I'll just kind of read what are the changes that the amendment makes to the underlying bill. So members kind of can get the general picture, because I know it's a little confusing, and for the public as well. So in the original bill, it used the term malfeasance. We are replacing that And now we're just referring to acts, and it's defined elsewhere here. It clarifies that an investigation is required when the county board wants to remove a majority of or the entire corporate board. So the county can still remove a single member, just as it can now. But if it's a majority of or the entire board, it requires an investigation. The original language had some role for the commissioner of Department of Health. We've taken that out. Let's see. So it adds some, this says here, adds additional services that must be assessed by the county board as part of the investigation. It requires the county board to develop a written plan. So if the board wants to make one of those big changes and goes through the investigation, it's requiring the board to develop a written plan detailing the procedures for a proposed action. And very importantly, before the board would be able to make one of these, what I'll call here, more drastic actions, it would require a public hearing on the new plan, on the plan to maintain stability and services and so on, with an opportunity for public input at that hearing. And then on the, it changes the section that allows the board to, or the, sorry, the hospital board to hire counsel, and it replaces it with language that allows the hospital to hire independent counsel only in the case in which there would be an investigation. So it doesn't give it, a separate legal, separate advice other than what it has now, except in the case where it would be under investigation. So those are kind of the changes. And then I think maybe it would be helpful to, let's see. Kind of talk through the way I think the bill actually works now in its amended form. So just to give it to you sort of another way to help people understand what this does. So right now, the board has the right to dissolve what we call the – okay, let me back up here. The terminology can be a little confusing. So – we have the Hennepin County Board, and then we have the Hennepin Healthcare System Corporation, which is the hospital, essentially, as I understand it. So people call that HHS, which is confusing to me because HHS is an acronym we use all the time differently than that. But so maybe we'll call that the corporation. So the corporation is the hospital and its board. As I understand it, maybe somebody will correct me on that if I'm not being very precise, but as opposed to the county board, so we have the county board and then we have the corporation. So right now the county board can dissolve the corporation, reorganize it, or remove the entire board and take back direct management upon a two-third vote of the county board. So that's what currently can happen. So what this bill, as amended, does is to say that the board has the right to do that upon a two-thirds vote, but it has to identify one or more of the following: a crime committed by the corporate board, a violation of the corporate board by the board of ethical or legal duties that are specified in statute, or a repeated failure by the corporate board to act in the best interests of the corporation. Then there's this new section on investigation that the board would have to comply with before taking any action. So under this new language in the amendment, the county board would have to conduct a formal investigation before taking any action to dissolve the corporation, reorganize it, or remove the majority of or the entire corporate board. So there's details about how the timeline for this investigation and what the board would have to do. So 90 days before taking action, it would have to give notice to the corporate board and identify the specific acts that are the basis. It would have to accept a response from the board within 45 business days after the board receives the notice. And in its response, the corporate board could present mitigating factors or defenses. Then the county board has to assess the legal and practical implications of the action, including how the action would affect obligations to creditors, existing contracts, outstanding bond obligations, accredited programs and services, research and education commitments, reimbursements, regulatory requirements, impacts on clinical care and on patients, the impact on other providers and health systems, and statewide services that the hospital provides. So this is not something, obviously, that could be undertaken lightly, but it certainly could be undertaken. And then finally, if the board was determined to do that, afterwards, following the investigation, the board would evaluate the results of it and develop a written plan detailing procedures for the proposed action in a way that provides for continuity and minimal disruption, and then hold the public hearing that I mentioned before. So, and then there is this section, as I mentioned, about separate legal counsel that says that if there is an investigation, that the board, the corporate board, could hire separate legal counsel for that specific purpose to represent it in that specific investigatory process. So I hope that's fairly clear to everyone. I know the initial language was not where it needed to be, and so we've taken input. And as I mentioned, the process here is that we are still open to input. This is not a formal amendment. We're kind of outside that process at this point, but I certainly welcome input on language that members see might see as problematic, you know, really welcoming input on that as we go forward here. So, you know, none of us is as smart as all of us, as Governor Dayton used to say. So with that, I think we can move to testimony. Unless there are comments from members, let me just at this point again pause and see if members have questions about the bill language or we're ready for testimony. Okay, I think we're ready for testimony. We have a number of testifiers. We're going to start with Jan Malcolm, if you would come up. And we have, this is a regular, we're going to go till, we can go till 10:30. I'm going to ask testifiers to take about 3 or 4 minutes. We're not going to time folks really tightly, but if you kind of go beyond that, I might ask you to wrap up. So I'm going to try to be fair, and hopefully that's enough time for people to get their point across here. So welcome to the committee, and please introduce yourself.
Good morning, Madam Chair. My name is Jan Malcolm, and I'm pleased to be with you this morning. Thank you for your service to our state. It was my privilege to serve as Commissioner of Health under three different governors, and I'm here today to speak to you about this, what I think is very important and appropriate public policy issue to make sure that when it comes to governance of a major piece of Minnesota's health safety net, that there's a clear process and some safeguards in line. I had the privilege in between jobs as commissioner. When I was the CEO of the Courage Center, I was honored to serve on the initial board of the Hennepin Healthcare System when it was first set up by the county. So I wanted to speak to really two things today. One is the importance of governance for our healthcare institutions and why the county set up the Hennepin healthcare structure to begin with. And then just to underscore the critical statewide role that members and the chair have already well articulated. Hennepin healthcare system is the hospital, but it's also the physician practice and a series of clinics, which provide care to some of the neediest Minnesotans. The hospital and the physician practice see patients from every county of the state. They are by far the largest provider of services to Minnesota's public programs and also to those without insurance. They also serve critical public health functions, for example, the Minnesota Poison Control Center. They are a resource hub for emergency preparedness of all types. I can't tell you how important and helpful they were as partners during the COVID pandemic. They're a major teaching hospital, and they are one of the top level one trauma centers in the entire nation. And the support that Hennepin County has provided to HCMC and to the Hennepin healthcare system over many, many decades, I think is a point of pride for all of us. I'm a lifelong resident of Hennepin County and was really pleased to be on that initial Hennepin Health System board. The county set that board up for a good reason. Running a healthcare enterprise has always been complicated. It was complicated in 2007, and it is multiply so now, as just all the pressures around healthcare delivery and finance that you're so well aware of have just continued to mount, exacerbated by the extraordinary stresses of the pandemic on the workforce. The concerns that have been raised by folks about staffing, about benefits, are real concerns. They absolutely are, but they are certainly not unique to Hennepin Healthcare. And as has already been mentioned, they really require systemic solutions. The types of issues that are of concern for Hennepin are the same as and even probably to a greater degree than are being experienced by some of our other community hospitals. And they need attention. But these are not issues that a governance change in and of itself or an administrative change can simply solve. The Hennepin County Board set up the Hennepin Health System Board so that there would be a group of folks with the time and the ability to focus and with some relevant expertise, clinical and otherwise, to help provide guidance and governance on behalf of the county to this critical institution. And I think that the value that structure has brought has proven out, and you can hear about that, and I think have heard about that in letters from some of the medical staff. So I just thank you for your time in thinking about this. I think the chair explained it extremely well. It does not change the county's responsibilities or authority to provide oversight to this critical statewide asset, but it just does create some clarity about the kinds of issues that would need to be considered and the critical planning that would have to happen if there were a change in the structure or the governance. What would be the implications of that on patient care and on the entire health ecosystem? So thank you for your time this morning. I know you have a lot of testifiers. Happy to answer questions if you have any.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Next, we have Nathaniel Olson and then Sam Erickson. So please come down, and if the next person also would be ready to come down. Welcome to the committee. If you'd please state your name and tell us who you're with, and go ahead with your testimony.
Nathaniel M. Olson, disability advocate. So we heard from the Hennepin County Commissioner. My question is, when does mental health come into an investigation? Are people who struggle with mental health myself? But what I'm looking at is, I used to live in Hennepin County. I moved out of that because of the stuff that was happening. House of Representatives, if mental health is not the more important and stuff, during COVID-19, mental health rose. I almost took my own life in December of 2021. I'm glad I'm here to testify today. This is a problem, but I don't understand what we're investigating, what we're funding, but mental health is a big importance to a lot of people with disabilities and without disabilities. And if Hennepin Health is willing to, there's nothing that in here that defines mental health. It's concerning. It's very concerning. And I'm not going to sit here and let 66,000 Minnesotans with disabilities who live all across Minnesota wonder if we have to be on a hold for 48 hours and we're not getting the care that we need, but we're getting the care, and then you have somebody like a state guardian decides that they want to take away a mental health worker because they just don't want to respect the right of privacy. That's really concerning to me. It's a question that I want answered and the questions that need to be answered. I'll take any questions.
Well, thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Sam Erickson and then Rich Neumeister. Welcome to the committee.
Thanks. Chair Liebling and members of the committee, my name is Sam Erickson. I'm the vice president of the Hennepin County Association of Paramedics and EMTs. We're the union that represents paramedics, dispatchers, and EMTs at Hennepin EMS. So I first wanted to just start by saying I'm here testifying on behalf of our union and our members, not on behalf of Hennepin Healthcare. We support the mission of HHS to provide care to the most vulnerable Minnesotans while maintaining our status as a world-class level one trauma center. However, we cannot support the bill as written. We want to make sure that any proposed legislation is not rushed to a vote, including as part of an omnibus bill, but takes into account all stakeholders, especially frontline workers and the communities that we serve. We need HCMC to stay accountable to residents of Hennepin County and the entire state, frankly. That means robust oversight and decision-making power by our county board. This is not just an issue of union benefits and staffing, this is a larger issue. As it currently stands, the corporate board is not a community board. The board is stacked with physicians and former healthcare executives, while excluding organized labor and frontline workers. Finally, we need any proposed legislation to offer greater transparency to HCMC's operations. The current statute allows HCMC leadership to hide public information behind a veil of competitive data. That's not right, and it's certainly not the values that we stand for and we believe that the committee stands for as well. Thank you very much for the opportunity to testify, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Thank you for testimony. Mr. Neumeister, and then we have Sarah Frank. Oh. I don't think he is here. So, okay, Sarah Frank, and then Jeremy Olson Ewart. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Sarah Frank, and I am a dental assistant with Hennepin Healthcare of 27 years. I'm also the president of AFSCME Local 2474. I'm here today to express our opposition to House File 5442. Our local has worked with our sister local 977 at HCMC to push for accountability from the HHS Executive Board for years. For years, we have tried and failed to get leadership at Hennepin County Medical Center to protect us as workers. We've watched as patient care standards have dropped well below the acceptable or even ethical and we have tried to work with our employer in a collaborative manner to address these concerns and patient safety and outcomes. We knew we wouldn't get everything we wanted, but being listened to matters. Unfortunately, HHS has never expressed interest in collaborating with us. We felt like we had no option but to elevate our concerns to Hennepin County. All of our efforts came to a head when we were told that we would be facing huge insurance increases as well as losing access to weight loss drugs our employer has was strongly encouraging staff to use if prescribed. And I just want to state too there that, you know, getting the county to or HHS to work with the workers at HCMC prior to this big insurance change and executives getting big increases, we've been talking about this. It was like that was kind of the issue that made us go. It wasn't that just that one issue, and then we went to go. We've had other issues. That was like the nail in the coffin. It's like, well, we need to do something, just so for the record. So we were told that in the context of big budget with the insurance, you know, increases, there was big budget deficit that could lead to laying off of staff. Keep in mind, the executive staff have had massive increases in their pay since 2020. Jennifer DeCabellis was then offered another 15% raise, you know, while they don't have, you know, money to, you know, cut our insurance, but the executives are getting increases at the top. We have no avenue for our concerns to be heard by the HHS board, so we began to campaign to the Hennepin County board to take a look at what it might mean to govern the hospital again. It took months of work. We were finally able to get on the agenda. I spoke to the board about what we have been facing at HCMC. It's the strongest our union had been in a long time, and now it seems all of our work was for naught. What I hope we can get across to you as legislators is that while you may feel having Hennepin County resume oversight of HCMC is untenable, the workers at the hospital are telling you that the business as usual at the hospital is untenable. We can't leave this legislation with you all swooping in and stopping what little progress we've made, with us even further away from accountable and transparent board than we started. We need our employer to listen to us and be accountable to the public. If you all are determined to stop the county from taking oversight of the hospital, we need some reform or something in that direction to make the board accountable. We feel a seat at the table would be a great first step. We feel that in the limited, we hope in the limited amount of time they have left in the session, you would meet with us and other frontline staff to better understand why we pursued this in the first place. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Jeremy Olson Elert and then Mariah Tunkara. Welcome to the committee.
Good morning, Madam Chair and esteemed committee members. My name is Jeremy Olson Elert. I'm a registered nurse and an M&A tri-chair at Hennepin Healthcare, where I've been employed for the last 11 years. As we celebrate Nurses Week, it's crucial to address the pressing concerns that our nurses face regarding operations, retention, and workplace safety. Across the board, our nurses have voiced three urgent needs: heightened accountability, increased transparency, and a reduction in workplace violence, which has reached alarming levels and shows no signs of abating. Having participated in numerous contract negotiations, I've witnessed firsthand the significance of substantive dialogue. We sought ambitious goals, including the dissolution of the HHS board, prompting a call for meaningful conversations. Unfortunately, hospital leadership has disseminated misinformation regarding our objectives, resulting in harmful repercussions that persist to this day, underscoring the necessity of our presence here. Workers and nurses who spoke out are now being muzzled, with this proposed legislation failing to incorporate their input. At HCMC, anti-union rhetoric festers and retaliation against hospital staff advocating for change is palpable. If the voices of workers are to be stifled, then grant us the right to strike, as most other nurses in Minnesota have. Our resolve remains unyielding. We will not be silenced. Instead, we will persist, we will vocalize our demands, and we will push for the necessary reforms. Our dedicated nurses are not threatening to resign or quit. Rather, they have committed to effecting change for the betterment of all workers. We appreciate the opportunity to speak today, not just about our issues with the current HCMC leadership, but also about our concerns with efforts that might further shield leadership at HCMC from transparency and accountability that workers, community members, and taxpayers all expect. Madam Chair and committee members, thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Mariah Tunkara, welcome to the committee. And next will be Janelle Johnson Teal. I'm probably saying it wrong. Anyway, welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Mariah Tunkara. I'm a newly elected M&A tri-chair that has been working as a nurse for the last 9 years at HCMC. I would like to begin by mentioning Hennepin Healthcare's stated mission, which is to ensure access to outstanding care for everyone while improving health and wellness. HCMC cannot accomplish this mission without nurses and direct care staff who help fulfill the healthcare needs of the community it serves. It's crucial to look at strategies and approaches for nursing retention and employee satisfaction, which have been severely neglected. The employer reports that engagement matters because it helps determine how to improve retention by providing feedback on our experience. We have vocalized our experience since late last year, but it seems to be oblivious to executive leadership. We do not feel heard. We are asking for transparency, accountability, and collaboration with all employees. The employer recently reported a 94% nursing retention rate. We ask for supporting data for this presented information, as our data does not align with that number. The CEO said she would be glad to provide the information, but to this date, that information has still not been provided. That is not accountability or transparency, and this is only one small example. Management will never be able to recruit their way out of its problems. Nursing retention is an integral part of Hennepin Healthcare vision of transforming the health of our community in order to provide exceptional care without exception. Last year, the employer also cut incentive bonuses that were used to cover short staffing issues, in turn deploying more travel or agency nursing. Looking at the numbers in 2023, the usage of agency nurses at HCMC was shocking. Contract agency nurses, who infamously cost hospitals far more than nurses hired as staff, worked 13,284 shifts, which, considering the average agency nurse wage, likely cost HHS around $10.5 million just last year. This data does not align with the mission of ensuring access to outstanding care for everyone, nor does it indicate a commitment to the workers or the workforce of HHS. Madam Chair and members, I hope that this committee knows that the nurses are here to work with you to protect patient care while also improving transparency and accountability at HCMC. When healthcare workers do better, patients do better. Thank you for the chance to speak this morning.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Next, I don't want to mispronounce your name again. Please tell me how to pronounce it. And then next we'll have, after you will be Nathan Paulson. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Janelle Johnson Thiel. I think you actually got it the first time, so thank you.
I am
a nurse at HCMC and an elected M&A tri-chair. I've been a nurse at HCMC for 17 years. I thank you for the opportunity to testify on House File 5442. And while we appreciate the amendments that were presented in the hearing today, nurses and many other workers still have considerable concerns. After years of being ignored by hospital administration, frontline workers at HHS have been reaching out to our elected officials on the Hennepin County Board as a way to hold HHS leaders accountable. This has always been done with the goal of operational and financial transparency, which benefits both patients and workers. After months of advocacy, claims by nurses and other workers were dismissed and mischaracterized publicly as untruthful and exaggerated by some in leadership positions. Our biggest concern about House File 5442 is that it appears to remove HHS leaders from accountability. As all of us know, HHS is not a private organization and is heavily funded by the taxpayer dollars of Hennepin County residents under explicit authority and oversight of the Hennepin County Board. It appears this bill has been presented as a safety measure for the hospital, but instead appears to separate HHS leaders from Hennepin County and removes a way for workers to communicate and escalate our concerns about our working conditions. I care deeply for HHS. Very deeply, enough that I have spent all 17 years of my nursing career caring for the most vulnerable patients in this state. And I want to see us succeed in upholding our mission and vision. And I take offense to being characterized as doing anything other than that. I stand to gain nothing personally from any of these actions. All I'm asking for is the opportunity to care for our patients in a meaningful way with the resources we need and with leaders who are willing to listen to us. And as the only public safety net in Minnesota, we need to do better. Under current leadership, acts of violence against healthcare workers has steadily increased year over year because some have suggested we haven't had data. I'll present the workplace violence numbers over the last 12 months. And that is that in the last 12 months, reported workplace violence events have happened 1,222 times. an increase from the previous 12 months for a total of 2,313 reported workplace violence events in the last 24 months, which accounts for about one assault for about a third of our workforce. There is yet to be sustained and meaningful changes at Hennepin to prevent violence and protect workers and patients. Additionally, in a recent employee engagement survey, the two areas that saw the largest deficits were both in workplace safety and employees' confidence in senior leadership. The existence of this bill, I think, highlights a very clear disconnect between frontline workers and those in leadership positions. We ask you today to consider how removing operational and financial oversight from HHS would impact the community we are committed to serve. And I thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you for your testimony. Nathan Paulson and then Kimberly McNeil. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. I'm Nathan Paulson. I'm a mental health worker in inpatient psychiatry at HCMC. I'm also a licensed independent clinical social worker. I've been employed at HCMC for nearly 14 years. Like my coworkers, I believe passionately in our public mission. Though I've been assaulted more times than I can count, I love my job and feel deeply honored to work with patients. However, the Hennepin Healthcare Board tolerates a degree of instability and dysfunction that no other healthcare system in Minnesota would tolerate. Since the governance structure was changed in 2007, partially privatizing the system, we witnessed an unethical and demoralizing decline in patient care standards. To give one of many examples, HCMC secludes and restrains mental health patients on the far end of the national spectrum compared to similar healthcare facilities. I personally participated in many hundreds of seclusions and restraints with and without physicians' orders. Without adequate resourcing, support, and leadership, without administrative accountability and data transparency, we came to rely on medical procedures that are dangerous to staff and often traumatizing for patients. Whenever possible, staff overwhelmingly prefer preventive measures to medical force. A majority of the assaults I've personally experienced occurred when tying a patient to a bed or locking them in a room. Time and time again, when we tried to problem solve workplace violence, we were met with administrative dismissiveness, defensiveness, roadblocks, and retaliation. HCMC unions represent thousands of frontline staff, medical assistants, social workers, protection officers, paramedics, nurses, and more than 100 additional job classes. There are good reasons we demanded that Hennepin County commissioners perform their oversight duty in the facility and uphold standards. Minnesotans expect and patients deserve transparency and accountability from our premier public health care system. You can see I love talking about these issues. I'm passionate. I have an open door policy for any lawmaker that's interested in the views of ordinary health care workers like myself. Laws are better when stakeholders are included. It's vitally important that we're heard, health care workers and patients, as part of this process. Much to my outrage and the outrage of coworkers, HF 4552 does exactly the opposite. We expect to be in the room having these conversations with you. That's important. It should be part of the legislative process. That's what we expect when we put you into office. So please, Madam Chair, committee members, nothing for us or about us without us. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Kimberly McNeil and then Megan Walsh. Welcome to the committee.
Hi. Good morning. This is my first time here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
so that's what my papers.
We welcome you, and don't be nervous. It's fine.
Thank you. Good morning again to the committee. I recognize some faces here, some doctors that I work with. Side by side, I've been a medical assistant certified for 16 years at HCMC, so I recognize some faces here. But good morning. I'm here to opposition for the HF 4552. And lately I've witnessed a lot of sharp decline in patient care that went hand in hand with cuts to wages and benefits, high turnover rates, and understaffing. I noticed some doctors have noticed that. Through ATMC no longer provides salary data for the public employees on his payroll. We used to see that in our board where we used to see payrolls of CEO pay increased, how much they make. Now the CEO pay increase is more than 142% since 2007. Meanwhile, the HHS board sunsetted employee retirement health insurance, cut vacations, and cut sick time, eliminated retention pay, cut 40% from performance raises, cut tuition reimbursement, undermining dental insurance, imposed huge increase to health insurance premiums deductions. It heavily lift for us to be heard by the commissioners. We are successful because we have a powerful case for our oversight, accountability, and transparency. Workers spent many volunteer hours organized to get on the agenda of the Hennepin County Board. The moment we got on that agenda and made partial progress, the employer held a serious captive audience meeting with medical staff where they used public resources, forcefully encouraged doctors, as directed by superiors, to lobby against commissioners who were actively considering governance issues related to system oversight. In these meetings, administrators spread more information, misinformation, and played a worse fears, no doubt, because the facts are not on their side. Please stop the House File 4552. Don't undo our hardworking organization work. Don't rush state legislations due at the end of the session. After committee deadlines have already passed without input from healthcare staff to block our work incentive. So we expect more from the Minnesota legislature. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Did a great job first time. Next time, you'll be used to it.
Thank you. Hope I've been heard.
You have. Megan Walsh, and then Mary Ciro, and then Ed Ellinger. I missed Bonnie Burnham. Okay. Anyway, Megan Walsh.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Thank you for allowing me to testify today in support of House File 5442. My name is Megan Walsh, and I'm the Chief Academic and Research Officer, but I'm also an internal medicine physician at Hennepin Healthcare. I've worked at Hennepin for 23 years. As a statewide safety net, our commitment to our patients is perhaps one of our greatest strengths. We have a shared mission to serve our community, to care for all who come through our doors, to teach tomorrow's workforce, and to relentlessly pursue equitable outcomes for all. I came to Hennepin in 2001 for my residency, and I never left. In fact, my story is true of many. 87% of the physicians who practice at Hennepin trained at Hennepin. What you see in the headlines is not what you see on the front lines. This teamwork, the trust, the patient-centeredness is a connection for all of us. Doctors, nurses, paramedics, medical assistants, pharmacists, phlebotomists, social workers, and on and on. None of us can do our job without the others. It's what keeps us here. I was first hired by Hennepin Faculty Associates, a multi-specialty physician practice group in 2004. I was here when Hennepin Health System and our governing board was founded in 2007. And I was part of the steering committee when 12 of us, county officials, hospital leaders, physician leaders, and me, met for 18 months to integrate our physicians into this wonderful organization. It took time and leadership and a willingness to engage everyone to do this. In 2012, our physician practice group dissolved and we became one. It was true then and it's true today. Without a community-based governance structure in place, the physicians would not have agreed to integration. Let me give you an example of life prior to integration. All capital purchases through the county, if they were greater than $25,000, required county approval. Our pediatric asthma specialist, right out of fellowship, needed a bronchoscope to provide safe, high-quality care for kids with asthma and lung disease. She trained with this instrument. She knew it allowed the best possible care for her patients. Yet she was told this was not going to happen. The county approval process and red tape were too extensive, too prolonged. She needed to find another solution. In fact, in 2003, Hennepin was governed no differently than the more than 30 other departments of Hennepin County. Many parts of Hennepin's operations and management were combined with other departments of the county to ensure uniformity and ease of administration. While this traditional government model had worked successfully in the past, it was failing the hospital, and it was the nidus for the creation of HHS. Hennepin Healthcare has a lot to lose if we threaten this integrated system that we work so hard to build. We train over 300 residents and fellows in over 60 specialties every year. The teaching mission attracts the highest quality faculty, and they stay often for decades. We are national leaders in adult and pediatric trauma, burn care, emergency medicine, addiction, and mental health care, and we are training the next generation to be the same. If our faculty leave, if they choose to work elsewhere, we lose. Perhaps one of our greatest changes at Hennepin, true transformation, lies in our equity strategy. This is a strategy that was prioritized by our HHS board, by our executive team, out of a commitment to our employees and our patients. We are partnering with our entire community to eliminate barriers for Black, Indigenous, and people of color seeking health care. We've held 9 youth summits since 2021 to introduce high school kids from minority populations to meet health care providers who look like them. If you see it, you can be it. We are invested in the long game, not short wins. Strategy is built over years, not from one election cycle to the next. An invested, courageous, and knowledgeable community board is the difference. Arbitrary or unjustified board dissolutions and disruptions can lead to irreparable harm for the stability of this organization. That is why this legislation is so critical. The state of Minnesota says that a hospital or hospital campus must provide notice to the Commissioner of Health and the public before it voluntarily closes, curtails operations, or stops offering certain services. So too should an action of this degree, especially for this statewide resource. We know that everything here isn't perfect. What is happening at Hennepin is happening everywhere in healthcare. Workplace violence, rising premiums and deductibles, thin operating margins, and worker shortages. Dismantling our leadership structure, removing the people in it, will not erase these challenges. Rather, we must come together, make hard decisions, and continuously be better. I was here for the creation of Hennepin Health Care System in 2007. It was an inclusive, deliberate, and methodical process. We should expect at least the same for its dissolution. We must safeguard this mission now and for generations to come. Thank you for your attention and support of this legislation.
Thank you for your testimony. Mary Sereau and then Bernie Burnham. I don't know if I pronounced the name wrong. Come on up.
It's Sereau.
Sereau, okay. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Welcome.
Hey, Madam Chair and members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to testify today in support of House File 5442. My name is Mary Sereau. I am chair of the Department of Dentistry at Hennepin Healthcare and have been on the medical staff for 36 years, 38 if I count residency. I've dedicated my entire career to this institution and the patients we serve. Many of you are aware that Hennepin Healthcare is our flag. Hennepin Healthcare and our flagship hospital, HCMC, our state safety net, are the state's safety net, with nearly 50% Medicaid among those patients. But in my department, we are at nearly 90% Medicaid. Okay. We are one of the only hospital-based multidisciplinary dental clinic in the state. We see patients from every corner of Minnesota. Our oral and maxillofacial surgery division is one of the only oral surgery practices that sees Medicaid patients in the state. We are also one of the only hospitals that have an oral surgeon on staff and on call to provide treatment to patients with facial trauma and severe life-threatening infections, oral infections caused by bad teeth. Our other hospitals frequently send these patients to us. Our three oral surgeons are also critical to training University of Minnesota oral surgery residency program. They get the majority of their trauma training at Hennepin. We cannot afford to lose even one of these surgeons. We are also a major provider of care for patients with developmental disabilities. Many of these patients can't tolerate dental care in a regular clinic setting and require general anesthesia. We are booked out a year for this service. Again, we are one of the only hospitals that provide that type of service for these very complex and disabled patients. There's great need for this type of care, and we also have residency programs to train new dentists, pediatric and adult specialists to provide this type of service. The reason I'm telling you all of this is because I'm concerned that we will lose critical faculty if there's no protection in place for our governance structures. Some of our providers remember the inefficiencies that existed under the county administration and have told me that they would leave if this happens. Years ago, our physician group was very reluctant to merge with the hospital because of these concerns, but finally did so in 2011, 4 years after HHS was formed. Most of us didn't want to work under the county administration, and I think that's still true. We are concerned that politics would get in the way of patient care and our role as a statewide resource. It seems that that is exactly what is happening now. The disparaging comments made about care at HHS is disheartening to all of those that all of us who strive to provide exceptional care to every patient. Since COVID, there has been much chaos and stress in our system. We are still working through that. These workforce stresses are not unique to Hennepin. All health systems are struggling, but they are not dealing with the political pressure to dissolve an existing community board. Replacing our board and giving control to the county will throw us into chaos, and I suspect that may be the thing that pushes many of the providers that are on the edge over the edge and out the door. Some of our colleagues have similar concerns. I have a dedicated team of highly trained providers that possess really very unique skills. They stay for the mission. They could go to just about any other practice and make much more money, but they stay for the mission. They truly care about our patients and our team members, but this could be enough to change that balance. I deeply care about Hennepin Healthcare. It is a critical statewide resource. Please ensure that this is a transparent process and in place that is based on data and objective information on how the decision will impact patient care. Thank you for allowing me to testify, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for your testimony. Bernie Burnham? Welcome.
Thank you. Well, good morning, Madam Chair and members. My name is Bernie Burnham, and I am the president of the Minnesota AFL-CIO, the federation of more than 1,000 local unions who represent over 300,000 working Minnesotans. I'm here today to express our reservations about House File 5442. As you are likely aware, the HCMC staff and their unions are currently advocating for the Hennepin County Board to address systemic issues related to transparency, accountability, and oversight. We are concerned that House File 5442 will make it more difficult for county board members to be responsive to legitimate problems that workers continue to face. The decision to advocate for this action was not one taken easily. Just 4 years ago, as many of us settled in for what was turned out to be a long pandemic, healthcare workers were putting their lives on the line in the fight against a virus never encountered before. We clapped for them when they would come off shift, and we called them heroes. We are in their debt. Yet instead of improved conditions and pay at HCMC, workers are reporting high levels of violence, unsafe staffing levels, increased mental health challenges, and a lack of investment in worker retention mechanisms. When these workers bravely stood up for themselves and their patients, they received nothing but silence and stonewalling from the hospital board. HCMC cannot fulfill its mission to serve the community when its governing body refuses to address worker concerns or even listen to them. It's clear that HCMC needs a new way forward with accountability to and transparency with workers, patients, and community members. However, HF 5442 would further drag out that process and possibly prevent Hennepin County's democratically elected government from taking appropriate action. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Ed Ellinger? Welcome to the committee. It's been a little while.
Yes, Chair Liebling, members of the committee. Believe it or not, it's kind of nice being back in front of this committee. Good morning. I'm Ed Ellinger. I'm a public health physician who has worked as a clinician in urban and rural settings in many places throughout this country and in public teaching hospitals in multiple states, and as a public health practitioner at the local university and state levels in Minnesota. I currently serve on the Mission Effectiveness Committee of the Hennepin Healthcare System. And while I've never been an employee of a health system, I have collaborated with that organization for over 44 years on a variety of clinical care and public health issues in my roles as the director of the Maternal and Child Health Program for the City of Minneapolis, as an adjunct professor and director of Boynton Health Service at the University of Minnesota, and as Minnesota's health commissioner. And during that time, I've seen the multiple stresses that have been placed on the healthcare system in the United States and in particularly in this state. And in all of those roles and all of those interactions, it has reinforced my belief that HHS is an essential asset, not just for West Metro, but for the entire state, as been said multiple times today. It has achieved that status because of the overall strong support of the Hennepin County Board and the residents of Hennepin County, and the dedicated and talented leadership and work of the administrative and clinical staff at all levels of the organization, working within a structure that combines public accountability with administrative and managerial flexibility. Now, those of you who have been around when I was here, you will remember that as health commissioner, my central focus was advancing health equity. Essential to that effort is hearing the voices of affected community members and having them authentically represented at decision-making tables. This continues my focus since this focus continues since I've left state government. And that's why I serve on the Hennepin Healthcare System's Mission Effectiveness Committee, where I have witnessed Hennepin Healthcare's attention to health equity and inclusion far surpassing any other healthcare organization that I've worked with. My experiences with a broad range of health professionals and members of most of the diverse communities within our state have reinforced the value of transparency and information sharing and the need for direct input from affected groups that to help guide informed decision making. Through input from the county board, committees, employees, and the public, HHS has recognized the need for transparent information sharing and community representation. I have seen those efforts being made and to address those issues. However, improvement in these areas is a never-ending process, and HHS has efforts in place to make those improvements even better, although it is clear today that not everyone feels the same way. And this needs to be addressed. These are legitimate concerns that need to be addressed. And I think HHS has systems in place that can address those needs moving forward. HHS, the Hennepin Health System, has developed a community advisory board, developed open forums at the beginning of each board meeting, and will be facilitating email access to board members in order to share concerns. There are monthly meetings with unions to raise concerns and internal mechanisms for raising issues. HHS also has developed an internal and external dashboards with service, financial, and operational data. I've been impressed with the willingness and openness of the HHS leadership and staff to hear the concerns and the ideas of employees, patients, and the broader community members. And we must ensure that all are able to share their concerns and feedback and feel confident that their concerns are being heard. And I see that as the goal of HHS leadership and staff. During my tenure as health commissioner, I was served as the president of the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials. And in that capacity, I traveled throughout the country and met with health commissioners in other states. I frequently heard admiration of Hennepin Healthcare and the desire to have such a public institution in all of the states throughout the country. But despite a hostile health care landscape, HHS continues to effectively serve the needs of Hennepin County and the state and is a vital and essential part of our clinical care and public health infrastructure that needs to be preserved. Changes to the organizational structure of Hennepin Healthcare would carry some huge risks, and if done, must be done with caution and with a broad perspective, which encompasses the needs of the entire community. That's why I support this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. So that concludes the list of people that we had who wish to testify. We can go to some member discussion. Representative New Brindley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. And I wonder if Dr. Walsh would come back for a question or two. Thank you. And while she's coming, I would just say thank you to Mr. Ellinger. This comment about improvement is a never-ending process, and that is certainly true. And I look at HCMC particularly and sort of the unique place it has, both physically and in the services it provides and to whom it provides services. And, you know, I mean, I think about things like, you know, workplace violence has been brought up and acts of violence. And I think, you know, my late husband actually used to manage the operating room at HCMC, so he certainly had a lot of experience there. And then I spent a lot of time in the ICU as a caregiver with my husband, weeks. And often those units are all locked because of the concern of violence, often from outside of what's happening actually in the hospital. So it is sort of a unique problem that HCMC has that way. But I'd be interested to know, there were some statements made about just not trusting the data that has been provided. And so I'm wondering if you can tell us a little bit, the data on retention was questioned. I'm wondering if you can talk to us about, first of all, my understanding is that you are required to report those things to both the state and accrediting institutions. Can you talk about that? What are the trends we see in retention? What are the trends we've seen in worker pay? What are sort of some of those trends that show that, while yes, improvement is a never-ending process, what are some of those trends that we are seeing with HCMC?
And, you know, before you answer, Dr. Walsh, I just, we have about 20 minutes, and I hope we don't get too far off track into the data and more, maybe focus a little more on the process and kind of the concern about, are we getting the right?
And the trends. I think the trends are important on what has happened in the system.
Okay.
It doesn't need to be detailed.
Right. Okay. Go ahead, Dr. Walsh.
I'll be so brief because I am not an expert with all of the detail. If you ask me about medical education, I can take you right to the brass tacks. But so COVID was a hit to retention across the country in healthcare. It was a brutal time. I was at the bedside for all of it and still am. So retention has become a strategic initiative probably for the majority of health systems. Hennepin is not excluded from that. It has become part of our annual plan, our strategic plan. It is publicly put into our strategic plan documents. So at any given week or month, you can look at retention data. So we run 12-month rolling averages. We're at a 91% retention for the last 12 months as a rolling average. That is incredible, considering how much turnover exists in healthcare. And I think for how challenging Hennepin's environment is, it is a whole bunch of people committed to the population, and they end up sticking around despite it being challenging. So 91% there. What was your other question? Retention and violence?
Representative Brindley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And salaries, worker pay, all that kind of stuff. Just, again, general trends, not
Dr. Walsh.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So we have negotiations across all of the collective bargaining units around annual pay increases, of which I don't have detail on. There is a commitment to cost of living increases, especially in today's inflation ridden position, and the cost of living is challenging for anyone working in healthcare. So we're committed to that. I think that's as much detail as I can give, at least, again, if you want to talk resident pay, we can go there. But
Thank you. Representative Brindley.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Cost of living is a challenge, full stop, for everyone right now. My other question, actually, Madam Chair, might be for you as the author. I'm wondering, and I appreciate former Commissioner Malcolm testifying, and as I look at the amendment done today, we removed the language that notice is given to the Commissioner of Health as well. And I'm wondering if you can talk about that. It seems like with most of the things that we do regarding hospitals, particularly when we're doing this investigation and the kind of data collecting, usually we do at least provide notice to the Commissioner of Health. Is there a reason that we are removing that for this specific situation?
Yeah, Representative New Brindley, we had originally thought about having some kind of outside process as sort of a check on, because this is a statewide asset. And, you know, this is a careful balance of not intervening too much in the authority of the Hennepin County Board. And so let me just take the opportunity to say, and to everybody in the room and to listening too, that this isn't necessarily the end of the concerns and the process, but to come in and have the structure something where the Department of Health gets involved, and to do that in the last week of session or something is just really too difficult to do. And we're trying to strike a careful balance of just providing a little stability here without intervening too much, although I really do think that there is more investigation of this, I mean, from legislative investigation, more. We do need to dive more deeply into this. I don't think that what we do right now in the end of session here is going to be the end of the question. There may very well be a role for the Department of Health. The Department of Health does license hospitals. And so there is already a check there. And if there was to be some kind of further oversight, that is where I do think it would be. But just for purposes of this bill, we just thought it was a little too much too fast, so we took it out.
Can I just ask one follow-up?
Yeah, Representative Brindley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I could be missing the language, so I just want to make sure. In the original language prior to the amendment, it looks like there is just notice provided to the Commissioner of Health. Was there an additional role for the Department of Health beyond that?
Well, Representative Brindley, that was kind of what we were struggling with, is how to craft that, what it would be, what it would look like. You know, that's kind of it's just a much larger kind of thing to craft very quickly, and it just would involve a lot more discussion and process and probably a fiscal cost as well. And so that was kind of outside the scope of what we felt we were able to do right now. And really, the immediate need we felt was to just make sure there's some, additional layer of stability, so that it kind of quells some of the concern that there might be a sudden upending of the hospital governance that would just throw things into potentially into chaos.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
So I have Representative Smith and then Ryer. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, everyone who came to testify today on this at sort of a last minute. So Hennepin Healthcare System is an important part of our state healthcare system, our safety net, and as state legislators, it is very important that we maintain the stability of that system and that cog in our larger machine. That's why I'm a co-author on this bill. So I do support this bill. But I do think it's also, after hearing this testimony and discussions around this bill, it is important to say that healthcare workers, in the broad range of the workers that describes, have often had their legitimate complaints, concerns, fears ignored or minimized in the name of the stability of that system, or wanting those workers to subsume those needs to the greater mission, which is a very important mission, that their well-being or professional experiences are shouldn't be considered because of the important work that they are doing. And so I think it's important to say that that is not the case, that while I support this bill and the stability of the system, the necessity of this bill should be a call to action for that board to not only listen to these complaints and these workers, but to act on these complaints and to find better working conditions, whether it's staffing levels, insurance costs, workplace safety, to bring that transparency and accountability that right now workers don't feel is there. And so while I support this bill, and I want to emphasize that again, that this is good work to make sure that there is stability here, it should not be a period to this discussion, but it should be a call to have more discussion, and not just discussion, but action on these actual problems. So I thought that was important to say. Thank you, workers who spoke up today at this hearing.
Thank you. Representative Breyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thanks to all the testifiers, and thanks for this legislation. I, too, am a co-author, and my support for the bill comes from a lot of lived experience with governance changes and corporate reorganizations that have happened without careful planning and deliberation. And so for me, the importance of this institution that serves our state is really vital. That said, I am interested in action that goes beyond what this legislation does in terms of providing temporary, momentary, current stability to say, who is on this community board? I was looking at the website, and the board seeks candidates with expertise in governance of healthcare system or large businesses, construction slash redevelopment, financial management and investment, strategic planning, human resources, community advocacy, or lived experience in historically marginalized groups. I hear a lot of roles and expertise that is excluded from that. Many of the people who testified today who are bringing a unique perspective from their caregiving roles as nurses, as other caregivers. And to me, that's a really marked flaw in the composition of the board. I heard amidst all of the comments from the testifiers a feeling of not being heard. And I was looking at some agendas, and it seemed to me that labor, that nurses, that others are brought in to say their piece, and then their piece is considered. I would argue that they should be a member of the board. They should be at the table. And I would challenge, as we move forward, to say, does this board is created with the best of intentions. It has served the organization. How can we make it serve better through looking critically at its very composition? Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Breyer. Representative Nadeau.
And thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for all the testifiers that came in today. And I don't look at this as a stability bill. As the more I spend time in here, the more I'm recognizing Representative Bierman's kind of touches in helping craft this thing, where this isn't about stability. But the Hennepin County Board still has an enormous amount of oversight and responsibility in this bill. And the word dissolve, we think about dissolve as, you know, the elimination of something with the replacement of another. And that's not, you know, that doesn't necessarily just mean that if there are things that happen to dissolve the HHS board, it doesn't mean there won't be a new board being put into that place. I look at the language here, and it's really about, and let me back up. Hennepin Healthcare and HCMC, I mean, this is a This is an almost $2 billion line of business. This is a big system. I've tried to help people get on the HHS board, and it's almost impossible. And these are very, very smart, involved people that it's hard to get on that board because they're so mission-driven. And as I look at this and the language that's in here, there is some stability, yes, but this is about, it's less about guardrails, and it's more about cushioning. And it's more about moving these two, what's gone on in healthcare since 2007 to today is unbelievable. And HCMC and the county are successful because of that integration that they have approached. As I came to the legislature, I didn't realize that I had such a Hennepin-centric lens. I didn't realize that systems around the state don't function like Hennepin. The social service wraparounds, the welfare supports, the healthcare delivery systems, the step-downs. I didn't realize that that's not normal. And that success is because these boards are so integrated. So this is... I think this is cushioning and helping realign in this ever-changing healthcare market that we have a lot to do with. And I've talked to Representative Bierman about this a lot. The decisions that we make here have vital impacts on our healthcare system. And the more that we focus on ensuring that reimbursement rates are to the levels they are, so that the business models that are out there, regardless if it's hospitals or if it's direct service providers for disabled folks, making sure that we're funding to the level that we can too, that the best of our abilities to ensure that the business models are functional, the better off our systems are. And I think that's what this bill is really trying to do. It's basically bringing these things more in alignment with our ever-changing system. And I trust the HHS board, and I trust the Hennepin County board to do that work that they've set out to do. This isn't defensive, and this isn't all stability. But it does make sure that we're balancing that knee-jerk reaction to the things that maybe it's the legislature does. It's making sure that we're not allowing this to get adversarial. It does provide clarity, and it kind of pushes those partners back in the room and says, you know what, these are the things that we need to do to help be the example for healthcare systems across the state. So thank you, Madam Chair.
All right, thank you. So we're getting close on our time here, so I'm going to go to Representative Bonner, Representative Akam, and then I'm going to finish up with a statement, and then I think we'll be done. So Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think some of the issues we're talking about here today are really tough because they are not unique to Hennepin Health. They are things that we see system-wide in healthcare organizations across the state, frankly, across the country, and worker retention is always going to be an issue. We have an aging population of folks who are retiring, and they're leaving a really big void. The nurses in particular, but what I think for this, I appreciate that we want to put some stability into the board. We certainly have to have the continuity across the board for them. And I would say two things. One, to the folks who are saying we should just dissolve the board, I will say one of the things I hear from nurses is often that their expertise is ignored. And I will say that one of the things we do if we dissolve this board is that we also dissolve the expertise of folks who are an integral part of this mission who want Hennepin Health to succeed. And I think that could be a huge mistake. The other huge mistake that I see, and I'm going to be very blunt about this, is something that Representative Ryer brought forward, and that is that I don't really hear a lot of representation from the folks on the ground with the expertise on the unit doing the work every day. These are the folks, when you talk about safety, those more experienced nurses who are managing the units, they can tell you a thing or two about how to be more safe. They are the ones who, when you have the young nurses who don't feel comfortable asserting themselves with a patient who's difficult, they are the ones who will step in and make it happen. They are the ones who should be leading the way on that initiative. And not having someone on the board that represents that interest or that knowledge and expertise feels like a huge oversight to me. And so I would say as this goes forward, we should strongly consider, whether it happens this year or next year, that that is an element that is sorely lacking on this board.
Thank you. Representative Akam.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I will be brief. I live in the district of Hennepin County that has currently a vacancy in the Hennepin County Board. And so this issue has become part of that election campaign. And so I would say before that, I probably didn't know a whole lot about it, and I'm not going to say I'm some expert now because I'm not. But I think it has been made incredibly important to me, or at least it's been stressed, and I feel it is important that we have that hospital board to provide that expertise that many have talked about and oversight. And I will say that in listening to many of the testifiers today and in following some of the comments of my colleagues, I think it's important that we look at the makeup of that board, and that I wouldn't necessarily wait until next year, that I do think that it raises to the point of importance that we look at that currently. So anyway, I thank you all for the work that you do and the resource that the Hennepin healthcare system provides, and I think it's something we need to certainly work to protect.
All right. Thank you, Representative Akam. So thank you, everyone. I first of all, a little housekeeping note so that I don't forget. So members, this is our last meeting. There is a red folder in your packet. It is your save folder. If you want anything in there, take it with you today, because if you don't, it will be thrown away. Okay, took care of that. So just, you know, back on the issue here. So I very much appreciate all the testimony we heard today. We have heard you, and I have to say to the members who, the people who testified who felt like this bill shows that they aren't being heard or they haven't been heard, you have been heard. This bill actually brought you in to be heard on this issue, something that we, many of us, really didn't know much about, because we're, you know, we represent different parts of the state. And so I think in that sense, I think people who are here testifying about their concerns can, I think you've had some success here, obviously. Members have heard you. And we're very concerned about what we have heard. But, you know, two things can be true at the same time. We can have those concerns exist alongside the concern about transparency. And I keep having this issue and this image in my head of a lifeboat, you know. We've got a lot of people in the lifeboat, and if you want to rock it this way and that way, and if we don't all figure out a way to, you know, balance it, it's going to sink, and everybody in it is going to sink. And that is what we cannot allow with this. This is too important. So, you know, as I said to Representative New Brindley, this is not the end. I don't know if we have enough time and can give enough consideration to do changes like a change to board composition or any of those kind of things, but I do feel this is not the end of the issue at all. And some of us have privately also already expressed to the leadership at HCMC that we are concerned about this. The lack of transparency is a concern. This is a unique institution. It is a public hospital, and it has to respond to the public. And I think what we're seeing of going to the Hennepin County Board is a result of not having that access to the board that is, in fact, tasked with resolving these issues. So that is very much of a concern to us. No one should be muzzled. People need to feel heard. And if that is not happening, that is a serious problem, and the leadership needs to take that very, very seriously. At the same time, this institution has to continue on and fulfill its function, and that's why you see we've heard a lot of bills in this committee around nursing and the issues that nurses and others have in this state. And we take that very, very seriously. But at the same time, you know, we have to make sure that these hospitals exist, that they're, you know, this one in particular, that it, that this mission is going forward. And so, you know, I hope everyone knows that I think uniformly around this table, we have members who are very open to hearing and listening. And my phone keeps ringing for some reason. I really appreciate hearing all the voices here today. So, as I said, this will, likely be something that you see in the omnibus bill process here. And, you know, for someone who said, oh, this isn't, you know, we didn't get transparency. This is the transparency. That's why we're having this hearing, you know, because we wanted to bring the voices in. We want to involve all the members. We're not trying to do something here without telling the public what we're thinking about doing. So that's it. So thank you. And we need to get on to our next thing. So with that, we are adjourned.